Hey, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and we're going to have a new recording today for you, and thank you for listening in, and we'll continue our study in the letter F, study number 6, for the family, the Christian home today. And I remember last recording, sometimes it happens and sometimes it doesn't, but I failed to give you the scriptures from that last recording that we had. And so far, just recapping a little bit, we've talked about the family, and we began on our first recording talking about the first home, and began to talk about man and woman and how they were created. And we also talked about marriage and what a couple is to leave and what the couple is to become. We also spent some time on the husband's duty to his wife, if you remember. And we also, last recording, talked about the wife's duty to her husband. Now, understand when we're studying these things concerning the family that all families are not the same, and we understand that. And we understand that all families have their unique problems and their unique troubles, but we're talking about a foundation for a family, the perfect foundation for a family, a foundation coming from a supernatural God that has the power to back up what he says in his word. And that if his plans for a family will be incorporated, or at least attempted to be incorporated into the family and honored in the family, then the results of his word and the rewards of his word concerning the family, the fruit will come out of it. In a family, whenever the enemy, the devil's ideas of what a family is incorporated into a family, the fruit comes out of it, doesn't it? Yeah. So why wouldn't God's fruit come out of it if we incorporate God's idea, not ideas, but facts, the facts of God's word? If we incorporate God's word into our families, then why wouldn't the fruit bear just like the devil's does? Well, it will. So now understand that when we're talking about this, we're talking about what the Bible says. And we're not saying whenever we talk about the husband's duty to the wife and the wife's duty to her husband and the children's, and we're talking about all of this, that we're not saying that your family is a complete failure. There's not a person listening to this that has anything to do with a family to where you don't have some kind of problem in the family one way or another having to do with this study. Okay, all of us are guilty when it comes to the family. We've all failed in some manner, some way, somehow, when it comes to the family. Whether it be a father or a mother or children or parents or whatever it might be, we've all failed in some way, shape, or form. And I'm sure you would agree with that. But just to reiterate what I was saying, is that whenever we're studying this study, we're not trying to throw darts or trying to cause you to feel like a complete failure when it comes to the family. We're just trying to correct the things that we are making mistakes with and incorporate God's perfect rules and ideas of what he says a family should be, because he's the one that made the family. So what we're trying to find out is doctrine and find out the truth about the way a family should be, and then we can move forward with it, okay? So that's what we're doing, the ABCs of Christian growth. All right, let me go ahead and give you, we talked about the wife's duty to her husband last recording. Let me give you the scriptures to that, please. You got your pencil? Okay, here they are. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34 and 35. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. And 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4 and 5. And there are the scriptures for our last recording. I believe that was recording number 3, concerning the family and the wife's duty to her husband. Now today, we're going to go into the parents' duties to their children. And we're going to talk about quite a few things here, and we're going to brush over them, just like I said. And you just put the world and that television and the ideas of the media and all these things out of your mind. If you're born again, you need to have the mind of Christ. You need to think like the Lord thinks. You need to think like God's Word thinks. And that's what we're going to go over, and what God's Word says concerning children and parents' duty to their children, okay? Now, I don't know if you're a parent, but if you are, you can't say. Now, I have failed my children in certain ways. And if you are a parent, you have failed your children in certain ways also, especially in this world. And we've done things that are our fault, and we've done things out of ignorance because young couples cannot grow up. Marriages are getting harder and harder and harder for young people to learn and to grow up knowing how to be a mama and knowing how to be a daddy, because these generations are getting more and more corrupt, and grandparents aren't teaching the fathers and mothers aren't teaching the sons and daughters of how to have a family. And it's getting harder and harder. But nevertheless, the Word of God is not bound. And it is still just as valid and powerful as God, as it was during the first family. And if we will honor the Lord and will honor His Word in our relationship in our family, then God will honor us, and God's Word will honor us. So let's go ahead and begin. Parents' duty to their children. In Psalm chapter 127 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." Now, there's several truths in that scripture right there, but one of them says that children are the Lord's heritage. Now, looking up the word heritage and finding out what it means, I'm sure that there's people smarter than me, and I just kind of just get in the dictionary and find out what the word means, and it kind of bears on just, it's easy, you know, it's heritage is talking about an estate that's acquired through birthright, okay, but I don't think that's the part that it's talking about. It's more talking about an inheritance. That you being a husband and a wife, that the children are an inheritance to you from the Lord because of your marriage and because of you being together and another thing that it teaches us here is that God has to do with children coming into this world. It says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." The fruit of the womb is His reward. So the Lord knows children. And in other places, it says that the Lord, in other places in the scriptures, and if you want to know where they are, you can email me and I will send them to you. But in other places in the scriptures, it says that the Lord knows you before you are covered in a body in the womb, before you are obtain a body in the womb. And before you're formed, that the Lord knows you. Now, I don't know how He does that or how that He's God. And that's possible. All things are possible with God. But we believe because that's what He says. Okay, so children, parents' duties to the children. First thing we need to understand is that they are an inheritance from the Lord. They matter to the Lord. And if they're an inheritance, is something that you give because you love somebody, because you care. And the children, we know that the Lord's heart, the Lord Jesus, when He was here, He said, "Suffer the little children to come unto Me." The Lord has a heart for children, and He loves children. Children are the heritage of the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, the Bible says this, "Train up a child in the way he should go, And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, the Bible gives us some promises right there, that if we'll train up a child in the way that he should go, then the Bible says that when he is old, from his childhood to his old age, his older age, whatever that might be, older, more years in his life on down the road, that he'll not depart from it. If you train him up in the way he should go, he'll remember those things. And we've seen evidence of that with the children that have been brought up and right. And you say, well, what in the world happened to that child? Well, later on in his life, after he's learned all the lessons of what he should not do, then he brings to memory all the training that he's had about the right ways. And the Bible promises that if you'll train him up in the way he should go, when he's old, he'll not depart from it. He'll come back to him. He'll fall back on it. So the idea of raising a child is not that he's going to continue to walk in the ways that you trained him up in. And we know that just by them growing up. When they become a teenager, they get all that air in their head and get all them ideas, and things start changing, don't they? And your little angel, and I don't know how some of you might think about this, but your little angel is a little sinner. And he has that flesh on him just as much as we have the flesh on us, and that flesh is wicked in every way. And he has to deal with that. That's why it's so important to train him up in the way he should go, because that flesh is going to try to drag him, and the world's going to try to drag him or her, and the devil himself is going to try to drag him or her in the wrong direction. But the Bible says that if you'll train him up in the way that he or she should go, that when he's old, that he'll have that knowledge and he'll have that truth in him. And it matters what truth you put in your child and you teach your child, because it will be something that they can fall back on later on in life when they start learning those lessons. And when they get beat up bad enough by that flesh and by the world, and they can fall back on that stuff. But your little angel, you know, they talk about little angels and talk about that boy's a little devil and stuff like that. You know, the scriptures talk about Jesus casting out devils out of young children in the New Testament. You remember? Don't you think that that children can't be that can't be influenced and can't be possessed and can't be moved by unclean spirits, depending on what they fool with and what in the world. I mean, just for an example, we was talking about the other day about a child that 6 year. You're talking about our 15 and 16 year old in that generation today, this year. The second leading cause of that of 14, 15, 16 year olds is suicide. You know what the third leading cause of death is? The third leading cause of death is homicide. If they don't kill themselves, they kill each other. Now, that's your 14, 15, 16-year-olds right now, 2018, you see. So, apparently, there's not been some training going on, you see. So, parents' duties to their children. Now, first thing we understand is that children are the heritage of the Lord. And another thing we talk about in Proverbs 22, verse 6, is train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Talking about the parents should train up the child, not the school and not the television. If we're going to do things right and do things proper, now I don't know how far you've gone. I failed my children. I told you that a while ago. But there were some things that I taught my children that I know are still working in them, and I can see it working in them. Parents are to train up the children, not the school. No matter what the school says today, the federal government schools that we have now, and talking about all these things, these ungodly things that they're teaching your children. But the parents are to train the children up, not the schools and not the television. And they are responsible to train up the children, train up their children. That's right. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, the Bible says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." The nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers are responsible to bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The fathers are to train and to make the Lord's name and the Lord's reputation in the family is the children are going to think about the Lord as the father thinks about the Lord. The Bible says that children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. What children think about God is what their fathers think about God. Okay? And fathers are responsible to bring their children up in the nurture. And that's called nurturing a child is disciplining a child, teaching them the difference between right and wrong, and up and down, and left and right, and teaching them what the polarities of life, and the admonition of the Lord, the admonition of the Lord. Now, the Bible says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15, the Bible says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now that's God's word, and God chose to put that in his word for us to read. And he means what he says and says what he means, and what he means works. Okay. Now, when I was a child, we didn't have no problem with this. We knew exactly what this verse meant. And so did you, if you're in my generation. And, you know, it ain't been that long ago, 20, 30 years ago, that this was common practice even in the schools of bringing out a rod of correction or the board of correction or whatever you want to call it. But the Bible always says a rod. Okay. Now, but one thing we want to notice about this is, children require discipline. They've got to be disciplined. Remember we talked about just a while ago about your little angel is carrying around that flesh. And Jesus said, "Ye being evil." Now, Paul said that, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Well, your little angel is not, and I don't mean anything by calling him angel. I'm just trying to stress a point. Your little angel is not all that much of an angel. I mean, he got that flesh on him and working on him. And you've got to remember that when you're training him up or her up, that they have that flesh. And this world is more fleshy than it's ever been. And it teaches you, them billboards and that television and those videos and those games and all that stuff are teaching your children fleshly things. And their flesh is learning just like their spirit is learning. If you're teaching Christian values in the home, don't you think that flesh is not being taught either? At the same time, you're supposed to be walking in the spirit and teaching your children spiritual things so they can become spiritually strong and walk in the spirit like you do. You're supposed to be teaching them how to deny that flesh and teaching them how wicked that flesh is, not promoting the flesh. Not teaching them to promote the flesh, because the flesh is going to kill them. Children require discipline. And when you discipline the flesh. You discipline that flesh. And that flesh will humble itself. It'll humble under discipline. That's what discipline's all about. It's disciplining that flesh. And children require discipline and should be taught obedience in the home. This will take real character on the part of the parents. It's easy to sit down and count 1, 2, 3, 3 1/4, 3 1/2. No, don't you make me 3 3/4, 3 7/16. You see, and doing all that. That child ain't stupid. That child knows. Children require discipline. The Bible says that they require discipline. Why? Because foolishness is bound in their heart. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You know how much trouble you have with your heart trying to deceive you? Well, what about your little 12, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old child that ain't had enough life in them or experience in life to even know what their heart is like? And they've not been taught to examine their own heart. The Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We are to teach our children that their heart can deceive them, and they got to be very, very careful about which direction they let their heart go in. The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But how do you get that foolishness straightened up? But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Far from him. Now, what do you think the enemy is going to jump on to make sure that your child doesn't have a chance to for the foolishness to be driven far from him? They're going to take correction away from the parents. And that's exactly what they did, isn't it? They know that the devil knows that flesh is going to drive your child wild and crazy and foolish. That's why he had them take the rod of correction away. But nevertheless, the Lord said that they need correcting, and you're to correct them as parents. We're not talking about the TV or the principal or the school board or anybody else. We're talking about what God says the parents' duties to the children are. Children require discipline and should be taught obedience in the home. This will take real character for the part of the parents. Children should be taught to obey without question. And when necessary, without waiting for an explanation. You are the parent, and they are to be taught to respect that and not to have to explain everything that you say, what you do. And they're to be taught that. And they need to be taught that. And you know they do, because when they get older, they're going to backtalk. If you let them backtalk you, who are they going to backtalk next? Everybody and anybody. And this generation that's in the world now, what are they? These kids nowadays, 12-year-old walk up and hold a gun in front of your face, you better not think it's a squirt gun. These kids are out of control nowadays. Why? Because their flesh is not being restrained. And why? How's it not being restrained? It's not. There's no rod of correction. Because the Bible didn't say, go to your room shall drive it far from them. The Bible didn't say restricting them at home or in their bedroom or off of the TV or off of their Game Boy or off of their Xbox is going to drive it far from them. The Bible said the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. Now, I know that ain't popular, but that's what the Scripture says. And, you know, the government and the state and the school boards and everybody else ain't coming to your house and saying, okay, we'll take his Xbox away from him. That'll straighten him up. Okay, well, take his privileges, put him on restriction and all that, and blah-bitty-blah-bitty. Now, what they're telling you can't do is give him a whooping. Is the rod of correction. Because God says the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You see, that flesh don't care whether it gets restricted from Xbox or not. That flesh don't care whether it's on restriction. It can handle that. But what that flesh can't handle is the rod of correction. Because that rod of correction drives that foolishness far away from them. That's what the Bible says. And I know it does. Man, there's a whole bunch of times my daddy gave me a whooping. Boy, if he hadn't given me a whooping, I couldn't imagine how crazy. I know my flesh needed a whooping, and I was straightened up after that. It's amazing how God says that stuff works, and it does. And if you've ever had been corrected when you was a child, you know it too. But that don't change what God says. It's the same thing today. But the problem today is there's no rod of correction. Now, obedience must be instant and without argument. Your child shouldn't be allowed to argue with you. Now, for character building, parents should allow no exception to these rules. It's not one way this day and one way the next day. Now, children also should be taught to work. And in their first year, they can be taught to pick up their clothes and their toys from an early, early age. They need to be taught a work ethic to where they know that working is part of being alive. That they don't get nothing free, that Free is all over the billboards, all over the television, all over the news media, all over the internet. Free, 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 free. When the reality of it is there's nothing free but salvation from Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we need to work. And the Bible says to teach them good work ethics. Good work ethics. Because if you're working, you ain't thinking about being in trouble. You ain't thinking about foolishness and trouble things. Another thing that parents' duties to their children are, is that children should be taught regular habits for happiness and usefulness. If a child feels useful and the child feels happy about the way things are, then, I mean, I ain't talking about telling them happy, 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 like the world wants you to think that everything's positive and everything's happy, happy, happy. That's not reality, and that's not truth. The Bible is 70% negative. And the Lord, the God, the Holy Ghost, teaches us what to do by teaching us what not to do. That's negative. And most of the lessons that you learn in your life before you finally realize the lesson, whether it be one class you got to go through, two classes, or three classes, however many classes you got to go through, the same thing that you have to go through, you learn that lesson by learning what not to do, not by learning what to do. You already know what to do. You don't have to teach a child how to lie. They're born liars, the Bible says. They're born liars. And you have to teach them how not to lie. You don't have to teach a child how to steal. And them cookies laying there on that coffee table, as soon as you turn your back, he's stealing a cookie. You got to teach him how not to steal. You ain't got to teach a child how to obey or how not to obey. I got that backwards. Excuse me. You ain't got to teach a child how not to obey. Their nature, their flesh, is automatically rebellious. You have to teach a child how to obey. You see. So children should be taught regular habits. Habits. They should go to bed at regular times without complaint. They should have good habits of personal hygiene. Teach them that it's right to take care of themselves. They should be trained to be orderly and neat. You clean up your room, make your bed. Parents, you ain't got to like it, but you got to do it. That's a discipline. That's what gives them the strength to overcome that flesh that they're going to need to fight and battle with their spirit when they get older. These simple things, I mean, the biggest part of your life is battling that flesh, isn't it? Battling the flesh, when it comes down to it, all the lessons that you learn in life, that's what teaches you how to fight the real battles when you get older. You see. Their television watching should be carefully controlled and limited. You know how wicked that television is. We ain't got to go into detail about that. You know what's on that television. And you know what's on them video games. Blood and spattering and guns and everything else. And who cares what they want? If you're doing it for their benefit and you're the parents and you love them, and you know, these kids going out, these school shootings and all this stuff going on, and then they go back to the room and they find an Xbox with 50 games up there about how to blow somebody's head off and how to go against the police and how to do this and spattered blood and machine guns and all that stuff. Being trained to do it. Children are a heritage of the Lord, and parents' duties to their children are very important. Another duty, parents' duty to their child is that the children need to be taught the art of living peaceably with others at home. If your home is a hellion place and just a hell hole where there ain't nothing but screaming and hollering and arguing and fighting and there's no order, that's what their house is going to be like. No fighting should be allowed. Not because you don't want to hear it, but because it's wrong. And you got to have some power behind your words. If you're not going to live for the Lord and you're not going to incorporate God's word and he says, well, why should I not be fighting? Because God says so. That's why. Then you're putting the responsibility on the Lord and the boy's got to listen or the girl's got to listen. You see, they should respect the possessions of other family members, including their parents, and not take what is not their own. They should mind their own business. That's something that everybody could take a lesson on nowadays, isn't it? Mind your own business. I remember, I used to be taught that when I was a kid so much. Whenever we was kids, my two brothers and sister, something would come up and everybody would be hollering and screaming, and mama or daddy would get in the middle of it and find out what's going on, and then first thing they'd do is weed out who wasn't involved in it. You get out of here. This ain't none of your business. Did you ever get told that? That's something that you need to teach your kids, to mind their own business. Stay out of other people's business. That's going to be 70% of their problems in life whenever they grow up, is getting in other people's business. It ain't none of their business. Mind your own business. They should be taught to share their property. Not only not to take other people's possessions, but they ought to be taught to share their property. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive, and it is. They should be taught to share their property. They should be taught to forgive and to ask for forgiveness. Very important in the family. There's got to be forgiveness taught to the children. If they ain't never felt forgiveness and know what forgiveness is on purpose, they're never going to give nobody no forgiveness. Another thing parents' duties to their children is that children should be taught the right use of money. And what money is, and what money is not. When they're old enough, they should learn how to earn money on their own, but not for doing things that they ought not be doing anyway, or the things that they should be doing anyway, like their responsibilities around the house are their responsibilities. They shouldn't be paid for that kind of stuff. Such as making their beds and cleaning up their rooms and things like that. They shouldn't get paid, rewarded for doing things that they're supposed to do. It's their privilege to have a bed to sleep in. It's their privilege to have clothes to wear. It's a blessing from God to have a roof over your head. These are things that they shouldn't be rewarded for concerning that matter. But they ought to be taught how to, the right use of money. They should be taught to tithe and give to the Lord. Why? Because the scriptures say so. It's the right thing to do. Principles, you see. Godly principles. They should be taught how to spend wisely. I taught my child whenever I said, I want you to, I'd take my children to the store. And I'd let them go shopping, but I wouldn't let them browse through the entire store for a half a day, lusting and coveting after things. I'd teach them, listen, we're going to go to the store. You get you a list together about the things that you want, and you're going to have this much time to go and get the things that you want and come and cash out, and we're leaving. If you don't meet it in that much time, then you don't get it. And I teach them that the hardest thing in the world when you go in a store is to buy your needs than it is to buy your wants. There are things that you need and there's things that you want. But if you'll buy your needs, it's harder to buy them while you're in the store. But when you get home and lay everything out on the bed, you'll appreciate your needs a lot more. They'll be a lot more valuable to you then than your wants will. And you just teach them those little principles that you learn when you're growing up, see. They should be taught to save money. Not because it's important and not because it makes you somebody to have some money around. The Bible says you can live without money. And you can. The idea of needing something is that means you're out of it. Today's society don't teach. They teach that their needs is that if I don't get $2,000 free every month, then instead of $1,000 free, then I'm needy. No, needy means I'm completely out of bread. I need some bread. You see, there's just a whole different definition of that, isn't there? But children, parents' duty to the children, they need to be taught the art of living peaceably in the home. They need to be taught the right use of money. And we could go into detail about that, but every family is different and every child is different. But the fundamentals are the same, God's Word. and what they taught that money can be wicked and money can ruin your life and lusting after money is wrong and money is evil in a lot of ways and you got to be careful with it. But that's what we use to get the things that we need. But it shouldn't be worshipped. And you teach these things and you let your kids see it and how it works in life. And they'll understand it, and they'll know these things. And the Bible says, you train him up, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Now, parents' duty to their children, children need and should have time with their parents. Now, if you ain't got time for your children, I heard an Amish man say one time, my thinking is if I have time for their needs now, chances are, they'll have time for mine when I'm 80 years old. There's some truth to that. There's some truth to that. You know, you should spend time with your children if you can and the circumstances say that you can. Today's craziness and people getting in other people's business and all these so-called CYA and people that care more about the child. That ain't nobody cares more about the children than their parents do. I don't care what anybody says. But the laws and everything else changing, it's best to mind your own business and just teach your children to mind your own business and be a family of your own business, you know, and let the Lord rule over your family. They should have special times with each parent and special times with the entire family together. You should do that. That's what brings you close together. That's what makes you cling to one another and trust one another. Parents should lead their children in such a way that in time they can win that one to Christ. The idea is that you never forget that you need to win your children to Christ. That if they don't have Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are no different than a stranger that you don't know that died yesterday. If they didn't have Jesus Christ, they're going to die and go to hell. They need to be saved. Now, all these things spell time and work. And that's what it takes. But most of the modern day parents are too lazy or too selfish to give the time to put in for consistent effort to raise godly children. They want instant results. And you know that you can't train that flesh instantly resulting. You're going to make mistakes. And there's going to be mistakes made. But the idea is consistency and truth and honoring the Lord in your life. You need to determine that you're going to make these changes and that you're going to do it. And you're going to make a decision, make it your decision, and then stick to it. Now let's talk about a few more scriptures. You see your children as they really are in God's sight. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 58, verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Now, if you don't believe in that little old angel that's laying there, and precious little baby smelling. I love the smell of a baby. There ain't no other smell in the world as precious as the smell of a brand new baby. But you know that little liar? He is a little liar laying there in that crib. He'll cry. You go and check his diaper and wipe his nose and wash him and clean him up and everything else and then turn the light out and walk out and he'll go to screaming. You come back in, make sure he ain't got a pin in his side or something like that and everything else, and he shuts up, and you go back outside, he starts screaming. You come back in and pick him up, and he shuts right up. That little liar, he's a little liar. He don't know he's a liar yet, but he's a liar. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. The Bible says little bitty babies are liars. They're born liars, and we know they are. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1 says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction. That's the way a child ought to be taught, is to listen and trust mama and daddy. That the father's instruction is good instruction, and you can take your daddy's word and you can trust it. But a scorner heareth not rebuke, the Bible says. So God's provision for correction for children is two different things. According to that one verse right there we talked about, a wise son heareth his father's instruction. The first correction is the father's instruction. You instruct that child, and you tell them which way is up, which way is down, which way is left, and which way is right. And you help them, and help them to understand. The second provision for correction in the Scriptures found in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. What we read just a minute ago, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You say, Brother TV, why you keep speaking about this rod? Because that's what God keeps speaking about. That's what God speaks about. And that's the only thing that works on that flesh. It makes the flesh humble. And unless you humble, you're not beating that child's soul, you're beating that child's flesh. And it's the flesh that's giving him the problem, you see. And some of it's so out of control that he can't even handle it. How's a little, you know how much trouble you have with your flesh and how it tempts you and all the things that you've taught your flesh and given your flesh. If you ever smoked, your flesh don't leave you alone about cigarettes, does it? If you ever drank, your flesh don't leave you alone. That's how come people can't quit drinking, because the flesh don't want to quit drinking. You give that flesh sex, it wants sex, man. It's evil. Jesus is right. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Much of today's humanistic philosophy says that it's wrong to spank children, but they're wrong. They're wrong. God is right. Now, I ain't talking about beating a child to death and abusing a child and hurting a child. The idea of correction is to correct, persecute and be an ogre over. It's not what we're talking about at all, and you know that. Now, here's some facts about the rod. Let's just go with this rod thing here. And the Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now, what does that mean? That means that the bottom line is, if you don't whip your children, the Bible says you hate them because you won't correct them. And correcting them is with the rod. And the Bible also says, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That don't mean four or five times. Betimes means right away. If he needs it, give it to him right away. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes right away. It ain't there ain't no go to your room or 1, 2, 3, 4. It's right here, right now. And your child will learn to respect you, and he'll learn to respect that rod. Now, the rod is applied to the right place. Never strike the child across the face with no rod or the chest or the back. That's a beat. That's torture. That's wrong, and we all know that. You apply the board of education to the seat of learning. That's what God put that hind end back there for. That's what he put that back there for, was for you to sit on and for it to be a padding for whenever it's straightening that flesh up with that rod. Now, the rod is applied in love. According to the Bible, in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24, it says, he that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now, you know how hard it is for a parent to get up and whoop his child that he loves? A parent that really loves a child is not happy about having to discipline that child. There's been times that I spanked my child, I cried harder than they did. And I got down on the floor afterwards, and I begged the Lord to change this thing that was going on in my child. Lord, please do this so I won't have to whip this child no more about this. And you'll find yourself, if you're doing it for the right reason, you'll find out you cry just as much in your heart and in your face as your child does. And when your child sees that, they'll know you're doing it for the right reasons. They'll respect you for it. The rod is applied in love. The rod is applied in the right place. The rod is applied early in life. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 18, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. They're going to try to make you feel like the biggest ogre in the world for whipping them, and give you every reason in the world, and try that flesh is going to try to talk you out of spanking them, make you feel like you're the lowest scum in the world and the worst parent in the world. But the Bible says, spare not for their crying. Chasten thy son while there's hope. Because you know when children grow up, I mean, look at our 12, 13, 14-year-olds. You think there's any hope in a child that's 12 years old that wants to hang himself? The hope is gone. But if that rod had been applied, it would have gave him hope. I wonder how many children would have said, the reason I didn't hang myself is because my daddy gave me a whooping. And I know he loves me. The rod's applied effectively. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18, chasten thy son while there's hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Now, children's going to cry with a proper spanking. That's what that flesh does, because it's being disciplined. Now, they'll also do their best to make you feel like an ogre, but don't you spare it. And one other thing here, or several, but getting to the end here. The rod's applied consistently. Don't spank your child for wrong things that the child didn't know about. I mean, be just. Teach them justice. Teach them what's right and what's wrong and forgiveness. And don't spank a child for last week's wrongs. When God tells you that He has, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God forgets about it when He cleanses you and when He forgives you. Now, what if He held out and said, "Okay, you remember a month ago? If that ain't right, you wouldn't like that, and you know God wouldn't do that to you. Don't do it to your children." Don't spank for last week's wrongs. Don't ever not spank your child when you say you're going to. Because all they think is that you're just a full of a bunch of baloney. They need to know that your word is, if you say it, it's going to happen. You better listen. And there's a time of loving and prayer soon after the rod's been applied. Never give your child a spanking or discipline your child, and then not after everything's done, pray with them and tell them how much you love them and pray with them and ask God to change the things and help them to change the things and be on their side and let them know that you're fighting just as hard as they are to try to teach them right and trying to get them to do these things. Parents' duties to their children. All right, let me give you these scriptures. We're going to stop right there. That's enough for today. Let me give you these scriptures right quick. You ready? Okay. Parents' duties to their children. Psalm chapter 127, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Psalm chapter 58, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. And then we used Proverbs chapter 13, 24 one more time. Okay? All right, well, there's your scriptures. And today we have discussed parents' duties to their children. And I hope that, remember what we said when we started this, that we talked about that we understand that all families are different and that all different things happen in the family. But if we're talking about a Christian family, and that's what we're talking about, a family, the Christian family, we're striving to please our Lord and to rear up a child, raise up the child in the way he should go, because we know what the enemy's like, and we know what the world's like. We know what the flesh is like, and we know that all three of them are going to try to steal that child from the Lord, and going to try to keep that child from getting saved, and going to try to ruin that child's life with drugs and alcohol and all the wicked things of the world. We know these things. And we're on God's side, and we're on that child's side, and we're going to do what God says. We'll save that child. We'll save that child. So, parents' duties to their children. Thank you for listening today. And the Lord bless you, and the Lord give you strength to do right. And we've all made mistakes. Don't worry about it. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Until the next recording, bye-bye.